Praise the Lord, this is Tony Alamo, reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Deuteronomy, and this is chapter 13 today. And we have only 18 verses here. And this has to do with warnings from the Lord regarding idolatry. Now, the Lord tells us that he wants us to be one with him, that we have to be one with him in order to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And so, if a person is even a prostitute or a murderer and they learn about the gospel, they know about the Lord, and then they want to be one with him, anything other than being one with God is idolatry. And we can only achieve oneness with God through Christ. Christ unifies all of us and makes us one. So we have Rahab the harlot. She became the great-grandmother of the psalmist David. And because of the fact that she unified herself, made herself one with the Hebrews, the Jews, the people of God. Now, if you are with any other religion or any other god, there's no way, there's no possible way that you can enter into the kingdom of heaven. So, Father, we ask that you pour out your spiritual benediction upon this chapter 13 of Deuteronomy. We pray, Lord God, that you'll anoint everything that I say. First, anoint every word in the chapter, and anoint every commentary that you give me. Open the ears of every hearer, everyone that hears the tapes, that it will bring them salvation, and those that are already saved, that it'll give them more strength, enough strength to stay in oneness with you, and that they don't depart from oneness with you until the end. We have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the Bride. These four are one. Lord, you liken our relationship with you to marriage, godly marriage between a man and his wife. These two are one. This is why when Rahab united herself with the children of the Lord, when she protected Israel, she did not betray Israel. She then became part of the chosen people of the Lord and became the great-grandmother of the psalmist David. And when a Moabite was married to a Jew, that made her a Jew also, and therefore she became part of the lineage of the Lord Jesus Christ, the same as Rahab did, because she became one with the children of the Lord. She united herself in marriage to one of your chosen people, Lord. She united herself with the people of the Lord. And therefore there is no schism there. A man and a woman are one. And we in you, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, are your bride. And you and your bride are one. Praise the Lord. We thank and praise your name, Lord. Father, before this message, I pray that you anoint this little message here regarding the oneness with you. Father God, we ask that you do all these things that I've asked, and I know that you will, because we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, now read this little thing here that I've taped down regarding oneness.
Jesus is the same forever. On the night before he died, the most somber night in history and in the life of Jesus, the Lord brought his most lofty request to God. He prayed for oneness in his church, that we all might be one.
Now, there's some people in the church that are zealous. When I see somebody zealous, like the Lord is zealous, and I'm zealous. And so therefore, we're one. When I see people that are claiming to be of this church, and they're not zealous, I know that they're not one with the Lord. That's what the Lord requested the Father. The Lord made a prayer. This was the real prayer of the Lord. He mentioned the Lord's Prayer, but the Lord has a prayer in the book of John that he prayed that we would all become one. I mean, all of us would be zealous. All of us would be one with Christ. All of us would be one with the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, and that everyone would be his bride. And everyone that is not zealous and one with him is not part of the kingdom of God. So go ahead and continue.
Christ's prayer is both visionary and practical, considering that this same evening an argument arose among his disciples as to which of them was the greatest. Luke 22:24.
Okay, go ahead and read that.
Quote, "And there was also a strife among them, which of them should be accounted the greatest," unquote. In spite of their immaturity, selfishness, ambitions, and envy, Jesus harbored no second thoughts or unbelief when he prayed that they may all be one.
Being one in the Lord Jesus Christ is a lot better than being the greatest next to Jesus. It's better to be one with Jesus. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Then you're part of God instead of being next in or highly favored in his eyes. That's good too, but to be one with him is better. Then what else?
That's even better than being the greatest next to Jesus, because we are all one with God and Jesus. Even as the Son of God appealed for them, be assured he is praying for us now. Jesus is the same, quote, yesterday and today, bracket yes, and bracket, and forever, unquote. Hebrews 13:8. Quote, Jesus Christ the same yesterday and today and forever, unquote. He will never lower his standards. John 12:48. Quote, he that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. Unquote. He will not modify his promises. Matthew 24:35. Quote, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. Unquote.
Now, they're always there. That's the standard. There's nothing that, people say, well, you're just too strict. The Lord is, and don't say the Lord is too strict. He's perfect, and he demands perfection. You're too slothful if you say something like that. You're too in order to get into the kingdom of heaven. You're too unstrict to get into the kingdom of heaven. You have to be strict to get there. Then what?
And his intercessions will remain unfailing until we attain his goal for us in God.
Right. The Lord is still working. He's interceding for us. Amen?
Amen.
So he's diligent, vigilant. He's on to everything. He knows everything. And the Lord wants us to be like him. And that's why we have to, in the church, be all one. Yeah. Imagine the way the Lord blesses us now, what the Lord will bless when everyone is as zealous as the Lord is and as I am. Because the Lord and I are one. I'm zealous, okay? I really am. Then what else?
Romans 8:34. Quote, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again. Who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us, unquote. To know Christ is to know his heart toward his people, his church. Look again at his relationship with his disciples that Passover night. If an observer comparing the instructions of Christ with the responses of his disciples, he would have concluded that there was little communication between them. The Lord Jesus Christ presented his vision of a church motivated by his Spirit, his love. The most important thing in the world is faith to have the Spirit loving us, and us loving the Spirit, and humility. In contrast, his disciples dwelt in carnal desires and weaknesses. Consider while Jesus prayed, the reason that he was praying was so they would be, quote, perfectly in unity in oneness with the Lord. John 17:23. Quote, I in them and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world
Now this is really the Lord's Prayer right here. This is the Lord's Prayer. You can go up to, what's this here?
13.
Here.
That's the middle of 12.
Okay, turn the page.
Quote, while I was with them in the world.
Okay, before that.
Okay.
Go up to where it's black. Now, the lot of people, you know, they call our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. That they call that the Lord's Prayer. But here's the real Lord's Prayer, and that's chapter 17 of the book of John. And I'm going to have Sharon read this now. Go ahead, read it. This is the real Lord's Prayer, because the Lord is praying it. Amen?
Amen.
And it's a prayer of oneness, that the whole church is one. Now, if you see you, he wants you to be like me, because I'm like him. Paul said, you follow the Lord as I follow him. He wasn't ashamed of saying he was like the Lord, because the Lord and he were eye to eye on everything. Okay, so here's the Lord's Prayer. Here's what the Lord wants from the Father. Okay, go ahead.
Father, the time has come. Glorify your Son so he can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone in all the earth. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him. And this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to earth.
Right, so to have eternal life, people want to know, how do you have eternal life? Jesus said it, to have eternal life is to know the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who the Father sent into the world. Amen?
Amen.
That's it, simple, isn't it? Now keep going.
I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do.
How do we bring glory to the Lord? By doing everything that the Lord, the Father, tells you what to do. Amen?
Amen.
By keeping his commandments. That's the only way you can give glory to God. If you don't do everything he says, you're bringing shame to the Lord. Read that again.
I brought glory to you here on earth by doing everything you told me to do.
And that's the only way you're going to give glory to God too. And you can do it because he lives in you if you're saved. Then what? And if you're not saved, then get him in you. Ask him to enter into you now. Okay, and then what?
And now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. I have told these men about you. They were in the world, but then you gave them to me. Actually, they were always yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they know that everything I have is a gift from you. For I have passed on to them the words you gave me, and they accepted them and know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you. And all of them, since they are mine, belong to you, and you have given them back to me, so they are my glory! Now I am departing the world. I am leaving them
right,
behind.
Right, now, you're the Lord's glory if you do everything, if you do what he did. He did everything the Father. He gave glory to the Father. And when you do everything Jesus says, you're giving glory to him and the Father. Amen?
Amen.
He said, they are my glory. Okay? You're giving no glory, but shame to the Lord if you don't do what he says. And he tells you to be one with the rest of the church, with him. And to be zealous, do it with all zeal, or he'll spit you out of his mouth. Then what?
I am leaving them behind and coming to you. Holy Father, keep them and care for them. All these you have given me, so that they will be united just as we are.
United as one, just as we are. Okay, then what?
During my time here, I have kept them safe. I gathered them so that not one was lost, except the one headed for destruction, as the scriptures foretold. Now I am coming to you. I have told them many things while I was with them, so they would be filled with my joy. I have given them your word, and the world hates them because they do not belong to the world, just as I do not.
It's like an honor to be hated by the world. Amen?
Amen.
Because it's an honor to not be of the world. Amen?
Amen.
I'm not of the world. Jesus was not of the world. I'm not of the world. That makes you know you're saved, because he's telling you, I'm not of the world. And if they hate you, if they hated me, the master, then they will for sure hate you. And praise the Lord. They don't want me to have credit cards. They don't want me to be on radio or television anymore. They don't want me. They know they've got my number, okay? Just like they had Jesus's number. Okay, then what?
I'm not asking you to take them out of the world, but to keep them safe from the evil one. They are no part of this world any more than I am.
So that means you're not to be any part of this world. Okay, if you are, well then, you know, then you're not of the Lord. Then what?
Make them pure and holy by teaching them your words of truth. As you sent me into the world, I am sending them into the world.
This is the Lord's Prayer. Then what else?
And I give myself entirely to you, so they also might be entirely yours. I am praying not only for these disciples, but also for all who will ever believe in me because of their testimony. My prayer for all of them is that they will be one, just as you and I are one, Father.
That we will be one. Amen. With Amen. The Father, with the Lord Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, and with each other. Then what?
That just as you are in me and I in you, so they will be in us, and the world will believe you sent me.
Right, because if they're doing the same thing Jesus did, then the world will believe that Jesus was here and that he lives in other human bodies. Then what?
I have given them the glory you gave me, so that they may be one as we are. I in them and you in me, all being perfected into one. Then the world will know that you sent me and will understand that you love them as much as you love me.
So in reality, it's not just the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. It's the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, and the Bride. They're all one. Amen?
Amen.
And us, we're all one. Then what?
Father, I want these whom you've given me to be with me so they can see my glory. You gave me the glory because you loved me even before the world began! O righteous Father, the world doesn't know you, but I do, and these disciples know you sent me. And I have revealed you to them and will keep on revealing you.
And I'm revealing him to you also by reading these scriptures to you and everyone that hears these scriptures. And so you have no excuse. The Lord has been revealed to you, and you know that he wants us to be one, and you know that he's zealous. Amen?
Amen.
And so he wants you to be zealous too, you and I. Then what else?
I will do this so that your love for me may be in them and I in them.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. Now we go into...
I have the rest of it.
Okay, now the rest of what I had written here. Okay, go ahead.
The only unity the disciples knew that night was a common fear and a collective abandonment of Christ. Consider Jesus told these sons to be leaders of the traditional church, that they would be known for their untiring agape love. But that night, Christ's three closest friends, disciples, could not remain awake with him even 1 hour while he agonized alone in prayer.
Let's stay with the Lord in prayer. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So we learned by their mistakes, they were utterly ashamed when they saw him resurrected from the dead. And Peter was grieved that he had denied the Lord three times. And he was so grieved that he didn't think that he was even worthy to be crucified in the same manner that the Lord was. He requested to be crucified upside down. He was like a pineapple upside down cake. Amen? Just joshing here a little. Okay, let's go with chapter 13 of Deuteronomy.
The warning against idolatry, King James Version, verse 1.
And idolatry is absolutely, totally out of the body of Christ, out of unity with him, not at all one with him, but totally haywire. totally satanic. Then what else?
If there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, verse 2, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Verse 3, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet, or that dreamer of dreams. For the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul.
So he's going to let you know if you love him as much as he loved us to come into the world and die for us. He wants you to prove. He's going to test you out. He checks us out all the time to see if we are going to love him as much as he loved us, to see if we're one with him. Or are you going to commit adultery and leave him and go serve yourself or some other, yes, you think yourself to be a god or somebody else or some other thing? Then what?
Verse 4, ye shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave unto him.
That's one, being one with him, because he did all the commandments, and he gives us the Spirit, the power to be able to do the commandments as well. So he wants you to see if you're going to be like him. Then what?
Verse 5, and that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God.
Right, when he says these false prophets tell you that the Lord just loves us unconditionally, that's in direct contradiction with the Bible. Lord right there said he's going to check us out to see if we believe his conditions. And if you don't, well, then that means that you're not one with him. It's, everything is conditional with the Lord. Even before you get saved, if he says, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, I'll give you rest from all your evil works, and I'll enter into you and give you power to do my works. So you'll let me live in you and do my own work here. So that's conditional, is you must come unto him. And then after your soul, all your sins are washed away, and he enters into your spirit with his spirit, then you have to, he says, go and sin no more, lest a worse thing happen to you. So he tells you, it's conditional. You have to sin no more, or something terrible is going to happen to you. Seven more demons, worse than the one that was cast out of you just now, is going to enter you, and you're going to be lost forever. Okay, then what?
And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he hath spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee.
So anyone in the church is telling you, you know, it'd have to be zealous, you know, everything is too strict here. I want to go to a place where it's not too strict. Or anybody that's murmuring, complaining about conditions or anything like that, instead of reporting bad, if there is a bad condition in the church, to the pastor so that they can change it, what you're doing is you're like a false prophet in the church, and you're like a seducing spirit to try to cause people to discount the things of God's work. Instead of reporting it to the pastor, you're murmuring among yourselves, this is not oneness with the Lord. The Lord tells you to communicate these things to the leader of the church. Like everyone communicated everything to Moses, and there were so many of them that he had to anoint 70 other people to handle all the smaller cases. And so anytime you hear somebody murmuring, complaining to the brethren or the sisters in the church, you know that that person is totally out of order. You should tell them, report that to the pastor, because this isn't the way the Lord does things. This is Satan, the way Satan likes to murmur and complain like he did in heaven, and then cause one-third of the angels to fall away. Murmuring and complaining is not oneness with the Lord. Then what?
Verse 6, If thy brother, the son of thy mother, or thy son, or thy daughter, or the wife of thy bosom, or thy friend, which is as thine own soul, entice thee secretly, saying, Let us go and serve other gods, which thou hast not known, thou nor thy fathers. Verse 7, namely of the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from the one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. Verse 8, thou shalt not consent unto him, nor hearken unto him, neither shall thine eye pity him, neither shalt thou spare, neither shalt thou conceal him. Verse 9, but thou shalt surely kill him. Thine hand shall be first upon him to put him to death, and afterwards the hand of all the people.
Right there, it's the same thing as anyone, loving mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, anyone, more than me, you're not worthy of me. It's the same thing. Okay, so now into the translation.
Verse 1 through 9, the warning against idolatry. Quote, suppose there are prophets among you, or those who have dreams about the future, and they promise you signs or miracles. Verse 2, and the predicted signs or miracles take place. If the prophets then say, Come, let us worship the gods of foreign nations, unquote. Verse 3.
Like the Gentiles, in other words, that worship the beast, the one world government. You know, like I love American government that was based on the Bible, but I sure don't like Roman Catholic government because it's the beast. It is the government of Satan. And they say, don't listen to Tony Alamo because he teaches against the government. He preaches against the government. No, I don't preach against God's government, and I don't preach against the United States government. All the people in this country that go for this Roman Catholic government, this Roman Catholic cult government, are traitors to the United States Constitution and the United States government. They're the traitors. I'm the godly person and the American. I love the American government the way it was structured from the Bible. But this government today, where they allow adultery, fornication, a murder of 40 million babies. This is like Nazi, satanic Nazi murder. It is not. It's Vatican-inspired government. It's not any government. It's a prediction that the Lord made. Those in the last days will make that which is evil good. You're supposed to obey the satanic government? No, you're not. And they'll make good, like they take the Bible out of schools and out of government, they'll make that evil. And that's just what they're doing today. And so, I don't hate government. I love good government, the government of God. But you people that are in the world, you hate God's government and you're going to hell for it and into the lake of fire. And you government agents that say don't listen to Tony Alamo because he's telling you about good government and he's coming against the Vatican, Satan's Vatican government, you're going to burn in hell if you don't stop saying that about me because I love good government. You're the ones that don't like good government. You're the ones that love murdering and wars and rumors of wars. You're the ones that love adultery, fornication, homosexuality. You're the government that is making homosexuals, making it legal for them to be married, and lesbians. You're the devil. And the Bible says so, and that's why you want to get rid of the Bible, because the Bible points the finger at you as being Satan himself and his government. Okay, you're wicked. Repent. Or you're going to wind up in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
Verse 3, do not listen to them. The Lord your God is testing you to see if you love him with all your heart and soul.
Sure, you're testing. The Lord tests people. He doesn't tempt you, but he'll test you. He let Jesus be tested by the devil. It's like you take an ox out into the field to test it to see. You take a car for a test drive to see if it's going to be worthy enough to cart you around in the world. And the Lord tests people to see if you're going to be worthy enough for to cart him, his spirit, the fullness of the Godhead bodily, inside of you. Yes, the Lord tests, and you people of the world have failed the test. So prepare yourself to meet God and to pay the consequences for failing the test. Then what?
Verse 4. Serve only the Lord your God and fear him alone. Obey his commands, listen to his voice, and cling to him.
Yeah, is that the Lord's voice that's telling people to abort little babies?
No.
No. If it's not the Lord's voice that's telling people to murder their little children, then whose voice is it?
The devil's.
The devil's. And this man, when I was going for a bail hearing, they arrested me on false charges. He was there, this prosecuting attorney. He says, Judge, don't let him out on bail. Because he says that the government, this Vaticanite satanic government, is the devil. And they believe him. So the people in the world are believing me. And the government knows that the satanic government knows they believe me. And the thing is they believe me too. And they know they're going to hell. And they know that they're going to the lake of fire. Because they know they're not going to repent. But I appeal to you people again. Repent. Why are you wanting to go to hell in the lake of fire? Go ahead.
Okay. Verse 5. The false prophets or dreamers who try to lead you astray must be put to death.
Oh, look at that. Just look at that. This is, they say that this government is saying that God is all love. These false prophets say that. They must be put to death, the Lord says. Well, nowadays we don't do that. We just try to put their doctrine to death by preaching this kind of way that I'm preaching here. It's just too bad that so many people are fearful of the satanic government, so fearful that they won't preach the truth about it, about God. Okay, then what?
The false prophets or dreamers who try to lead you astray must be put to death, for they encourage rebellion against the Lord your God.
Right, and this government, this satanic government, is preaching rebelling against God, and they're saying that I'm against government. This is not government, this is chaos. This is murder. This is confusion. This is filth. This is degeneracy. This is not government. It's lawlessness is what it is. The Bible stated that there would be a lawless society, a lawless government, no law whatsoever. Even this Spock says, don't discipline children. Totally blasphemous against the word of God. That's what this is the lawless one, the Antichrist, the man of sin, the man of perdition. This entire corporate body of Satan, Satan's government and his satanic cult in Rome, and the media that backs it up. Repent. This is a message of love to you, people that are totally out of control. Repent, or you're going to spend eternity in hell in the lake of fire. Then what?
For they encourage rebellion against the Lord your God, who brought you out of slavery in the land of Egypt. Bracket all these people who are trying to take the Bible out of schools and say that all these other religions are right. According to the Bible, they'd be put to death in the Old Testament. End bracket. Since they try to keep you from following the Lord your God, you must execute them to remove the evil from among you.
This is God talking. This is not the satanic pope or the satanic prosecuting attorneys or satanic presidents and kings. This is God Almighty, and every one of these reprobates are going to have to stand before him. And then they're going to be weeping and wailing and begging for their souls. And they're going to see the pit of hell open up in the lake of fire. And they're going to scream to the top of their lungs. They're going to scream their stupid heads off. And it won't do them any good. They're Antichrist. The actual corporate body of Antichrist. all of these devils, these seducing spirits, are going to be confined in hell with no possibility of parole forever. Then what?
Verse 6. Suppose your brother, son, daughter, beloved wife, or closest friend comes to you secretly and says, quote, "Let us go worship other gods," unquote, gods that neither you nor your ancestors have known. Verse 7. They might suggest that you worship the gods of peoples who live nearby or who come from the ends of the earth. Verse 8. If they do this, do not give in or listen, and have no pity. Do not spare or protect them. Verse 9. You must put them to death! Exclamation
mark. That's your own family, what's supposed to be your loved ones. Anyone loving father, mother, sister, brother, son, daughter, anybody more than the Lord, to listen to them rather than the Lord, the Old Testament says put them to death because they're the devil. Don't spare them whatsoever. And Jesus says the same thing. Anyone that loves these kind of people more than me is not worthy of me. He doesn't tell anyone to kill him. He just says they're going to die real soon anyway, and they're going to be sent. I'll take care of them. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. I'm going to send their souls into an eternal inferno where they're going to be weeping, wailing, gnashing on their teeth, chewing, gnawing on their tongues for the pain there, and it's never going to end. And they're not ever going to get any food or water. They're not going to have any rest. And eternity is a very long time. This life here is so short. Some of you weasels out there that laugh at the gospel, you could die a minute from now or in your sleep tonight. And then what are you going to do? Then what?
You must be the one to initiate the execution. Then all the people must join in. King James Version, verse 10. And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt.
Yeah, what they're trying to do is they kill the children, then they're going to try to talk you out of going to heaven and serving the Lord. They want your soul to go to hell, so they're worthy to be put to death in the Old Testament. And now the Lord says he's going to kill them permanently, and they're going to die forever and ever and ever. And they're going to be in pain forever. So we don't have to do that. We just pray, Lord, do away with these people. Do away with them because they're throwing people's souls to hell. Lord, in mercy, destroy these people. Destroy them, Father God, in the name of Jesus, because they're talking people into going to hell. Any of those murmurers and complainers and people that just constantly murmur against keeping your commandments and they're not zealous, Lord, throw them into hell. In Jesus' mighty name. If they don't repent, get rid of them, Father, because they're causing people's souls to go to hell. In Jesus' name. And we're praying in accordance with the Lord. The Lord hates them, and he commands us to also pray, hate them enough to pray to God to get rid of them. Adulteresses, adulterers, fornicators, lesbians, homosexuals, murderers, murdering little babies, you filthy slime, you. And you people call yourself mothers. You Nazi, satanic, rotten, scum buckets. Then what else?
And thou shalt stone him with stones that he die, because he hath sought to thrust thee away from the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Verse 11. And all Israel shall hear and fear, and shall do no more any such wickedness as this is among you.
Right, fear the Lord and keep his commandments, the whole duty of man.
Verse 12. If thou shalt hear say in one of thy cities, which the Lord thy God hath given thee to dwell there, saying, verse 13, certain men, the children of Belial, are gone out from among you, and have withdrawn the inhabitants of their city, saying, let us go and serve other gods, which ye have not known. Verse 14. Then shalt thou inquire, and make search, and ask diligently. And behold, if it be truth, and the thing certain, that such abomination is wrought among you. Verse 15. Thou shalt surely smite the inhabitants of that city with the edge of the sword, destroying it utterly, and all that is therein, and the cattle thereof with the edge of the sword.
Okay, and our sword today is the double-edged sword, the word of God. We just use that sword to go up to the throne and say, it's your word, Lord. You said they should be destroyed. We're not at all to do it, Lord. You say, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Repay them now, Lord, before they go any further, before they destroy any more souls, before they talk anyone else out of going to heaven. Destroy them, Father, in the name of Jesus. Then what?
Verse 16, and thou shalt gather all the spoil of it into the midst of the street thereof, and shalt burn with fire the city and all the spoil thereof.
In other words, they don't even want it. Their stuff is so contaminated that the Lord doesn't even want the Hebrews to keep it. They're filth. They're slime. They're the devil. Then what?
And all the spoil thereof, every whit, for the Lord thy God, and it shall be in heap forever. It shall not be built again. Verse 17, and there shall cleave not of the cursed thing to thine hand, that the Lord may turn from the fierceness of his anger, and show thee mercy, and have compassion upon thee, and multiply thee, as he hath sworn unto thy fathers. Verse 18, when thou shalt hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep all his commandments, which I command thee this day, to do that which is right in the eyes of the Lord thy God. Translation, verse 10 through 18. Stone the guilty ones to death, because they have tried to draw you away from the Lord your God, who rescued you from the land of Egypt, the place of slavery. Verse 11. Then all Israel will hear about it and be afraid, and such wickedness will never again be done among you. Verse 12. Suppose you hear in one of the towns the Lord your God is giving you, verse 13, that some worthless rabble among you have led their fellow citizens astray by encouraging them to worship foreign gods. Verse 14, in such case you must examine the facts carefully. If you find it is true and can prove that such a detestable act has occurred among you, verse 15, you must attack that town and completely destroy all its inhabitants, as well as all the livestock. Verse 16, then you must pile all the plunder in the middle of the street and burn it. Put the entire town to the torch as a burnt offering to the Lord your God. That town must remain a ruin forever. It may never be rebuilt.
Now this is where the Catholics reverse everything. They torch Christians because they say they're not keeping Vatican Satanic Catholic doctrine. But the Lord isn't saying that. The Catholics are the ones that are taking the Word of God and telling people not to follow that, not to read the Bible. And they're the ones that the Bible is talking about that should be torched, even though we don't do that today, or do we encourage anybody to do it. But we need to torch them by praying to God to have him destroy them, to annihilate the wicked, if they won't repent. But they burned many people at the stake for not following Satan's doctrine, like worshiping statues and murdering people, innocent people, and homosexuality. They've been homosexuals for years and child molesters. That's these celibate people. They're homosexuals. And they're like basements in Catholic convents where these nuns have had babies. And they would kill them at birth and then bury them in the bottom, in the basement, the dirt basements of their convents. And there's just, they found like hundreds of bones of babies buried there that they were just born. And this is a Satan's cult, and this is what they do. So they're the ones that came in with this doctrine of that it's all right to murder these babies. And of late, the homosexuality has been coming out, and their child molesting has been coming out in the news, and homosexual marriages and all this. This is the most... Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King, but Martin Luther, the founder of the Lutheran Church hundreds of years ago, stated that the Vatican is a sewer of corruption. It's like a bottomless pit, sewer of every abomination on the face of this earth. And the devil never will repent or can repent, even if he tried. He's going stronger than ever before. Then what else?
Verse 17. Keep none of the plunder that has been set apart for destruction. Then the Lord will turn from his fierce anger and be merciful to you. He will have compassion on you and make you a great nation.
The Lord will have mercy and compassion on you if you don't have anything to do with it, if those people back then would kill him. But of course, again, I say the Lord will do it now. He won't allow his people, and thank God, I would hate to kill anybody, but the Lord says, vengeance is mine, and I pray for them to either repent but these people won't ever repent, that God will utterly destroy them now. Now, Father, in Jesus' name. Then what?
He will have compassion on you and make you a great nation, just as he solemnly promised your ancestors. Verse 18, the Lord your God will be merciful only if you obey him and keep all the commands I am giving you today, doing what is pleasing to him.
So if you want the Lord to bless you, keep praying that God will destroy these people, all right? Because it's getting worse every day. They're bringing so many false accusations against the Christians. They're doing everything they can to get the Bibles out of people's hands, and they are not stopping their abortions. So they have to, the Lord, bless us extra now for praying for you to destroy them. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
Okay, now that was the last verse in chapter 13 of Deuteronomy, and now we've got some commentary.
13 verse 1 through 3. Prophecy and dreams are normal means for God to use in speaking to his people, but both gifts can be abused. True prophets have the power to form signs and wonders, but others can also exercise this power. See Exodus 7:10 through 12. Quote, and Moses and Aaron went in unto Pharaoh, and they did so as the Lord had commanded. And Aaron cast down his rod before Pharaoh and before his servants, and it became a serpent. Then Pharaoh also called the wise men and sorcerers. Now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like manner with their enchantments. For they cast down every man his rod, and they became serpents. But Aaron's rod swallowed up their rods. Unquote.
So that means the serpent of the Lord swallows up all the others. Then what else?
One's gifts and powers are not the only test of being a true prophet. For if any seek to move the people's loyalty away from God and after other gods, he is a false prophet. 13 verse 5, 9, and 15.
False prophets are of the devil. Then what else?
God so totally abhors the worship of false gods that he commands any city among the Israelites worshiping them to be utterly destroyed. He commands that false prophets, verse 5, family members, verse 9, or inhabitants of cities, verse 12, seeking to lead the Israelites into idolatry, be destroyed.
In other words, now this is what they say is the God of love. He says, kill them. Okay, is that? So I guess these prophets, that's why they're saying God is a God of love, so no one will pray to God to destroy him. All the Christians have been brainwashed or brain dirtied into thinking that it's wrong to hate evil and that it's wrong to be like God who hates evil. Jesus commands us to hate Satan and to love the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
If you hate him, then call on the Lord to destroy him. All right? Okay?
Amen.
So, a lot of people just say, we have to be homosexuals and just not care, The homosexuals today are evil. They're trying to get people into killing and murdering Christians. They're as evil as you can get. But we're not evil, wanting God to destroy evil. We're good, God said, and he blesses us for praying such prayers. Amen?
Amen.
All right, so get your head screwed on right here. Receive the Spirit, the word of the Lord, and live and be blessed. Okay, what else?
13 verse 1 through 5. This warning about false prophets is as important today as it was in ancient times in the Old Testament. We all know of individuals who have gained a wide following, but their teachings or lifestyles do not measure up to the truth of God's word. As we seek to come to the fullness of the stature of the Lord, we seek to be mature. We need to measure the teachings we choose to live by against God's truth. We must make certain that we are following God's standards and all His commandments for maturity, wholeness, and eternal life.
If you mature, then pray that God will destroy the evil in this world. All right? And if you know the word now, you've heard the word, a lot of it here. You know what evil is, and you heard it right here. You're not supposed to be clinging to mother, father, sister, brother, son, daughter, if they are not of the Lord. You're to leave them and go with the Lord. All right? And if a child is not of the Lord, I mean, the Bible says they'd even stone them to death if they don't listen to their mother and dad. Okay? So that was Deuteronomy chapter 13. Let's start praying these prayers. Amen? There's too much evil in this world, too much wickedness. And so think about these things all day long, and not only think about them, do something with the things that you know. Pray that God will destroy the evil in this world. Lord, start pouring out your plagues, your wrath on this earth that you said you would, and don't hurt the oil or the wine. That means those that are filled with your spirit, those that love you and want to keep your commandments. Destroy the wicked, Father God, in the name of Jesus. Remember that. Meditate upon that and pray about that constantly in the name of Jesus. And until chapter 14, praise the Lord.